Lisa. It is coming up to 12:15 on The Brew, and it is time, as we do on a Tuesday lunchtime, to talk futurism with our business futurist, Maurice Misiladze, who's on the line. Maurice, how are you, sir?
Yeah, very, very good. Happy Tuesday, everyone. And great to be back, James.
Happy Tuesday indeed, yes. And I gather it's the weather in Melbourne is looking a little bit better at the moment.
It is. I am looking out at a beautiful, crisp blue sky. Not a cloud in the sky, but wait 10 minutes. By the time we finish, it'll be there. And we're sitting around 13, 14. It's pretty much like that all week, we're told. So cold, but winter cold and winter warm, if that makes sense.
Well, we'll send you some rain to...
No, keep it. We've had enough. There'll be more at the end of the week. Thanks anyway.
Because we've got more than enough to share it around.
So. Yeah, I hear. It's really galoshes time, isn't it? It's time to get out your,
it certainly
your raincoats and things. And,
I love that word, galoshes. I haven't heard that for a while.
I knew as soon as it came out of my mouth. It's a strange word, isn't it? It's normally gumboots, I think. I love the word galoshes.
Galoshes. Or
anyway.
Yes. Anyway, you know, we digress.
As we always do.
We love to talk futurism, though. And, you know, last week we were talking a bit about ChatGPT and GPT-5, which is the new one that's come out. And, you know, that always brings us round to the perennial question. You know, AI, is it taking over? And is it going to take away our jobs? You know, will you and I be sitting here doing this in another generation, or somebody like us sitting here doing this? Or, you know, what will we be doing? Will AI be doing everything, Maurice?
I hope somebody's sitting here like you and I doing this in a while, you know, in a generation or so, because there's such beauty in human wisdom in conversation. AI can pretend to talk. It can pretend to go and find information and give it back to us. It says it in such a way that it's almost alluring. It almost seems to know what it's talking about, but of course it doesn't. It's parroting in a very, very sensible way, apparently, but parroting what it's gone and found and assembled as what it thinks is the best answer to do. So I'm hoping that you and I, in some form, will be around for a long time. But the question underlies that, which is, will AI take my job? Mm. And thank God we asked that, because otherwise I'd have nothing to do all day. So it's the question I get asked really the most often, especially the last 2 years. And my answer's not changed, but it's got pretty clipped over the last couple of months. And the idea, the answer to me is, I don't think it's going to take our jobs, but I think it will actually kill the idea of what a job is. Mm. I think that's the big difference. And in my article at my blog, I talk a lot about the notion of what work used to be in the Industrial Revolution model, which is pretty much where you and I have understood the last 150, 200 years of work to be.
True.
I have this particular skill set. I turn up at 9 o'clock. I rent somebody my body and my brain for a day. I clock off at 5 and I come back the next day and keep doing. That's a wonderful world. There's nothing wrong with that. And it was perfect because our world was repetitive. It needed the same skills used day in, day out. Nothing much changed, and we could afford, in every sense, to work and live like that. And everything we know about being human, we think, is built around that model. That model's gone. And that, to me, is a much bigger issue. So we, of course, need to discuss where we have work, and work leads to having sustenance, money, joy, and all the other things. But I'm really questioning whether our work is, the whole notion of work is changing.
Yeah, no, it seems like, I mean, I suppose in some ways we should throw back to the start of work. You know, how did jobs come about at the beginning, and what did we do before, and why was it that at some point somebody said, I'm going to give you some money if you can do that for me? And I suppose there was a requirement for something back in the day, but we're now away from that, right?
We are. So the simple answer to the question is that we didn't have work. I mean, going back forever, what we had were tasks. We had things that had to be done, you know, go out and plow the land, go and kill the dinosaur, go and get me the kids, you know, go and kill something so we can eat. People had tasks. And if you look at the tasks that we did, eventually at some stage, somebody had a little bit more money, a little bit more food, depending on whether we're using the barter system or whether we've gone forward, you know, thousands and thousands of years and we have some kind of money or trinket that we can trade. Whatever it was, somebody said, look, I don't want to do that task. I don't want to go out and collect food. I really couldn't be bothered going into the field and plowing it. Have you got a couple of hours you could lend me, and I'll give you this in return? And that's what tasks were. And that's very much what most humans did for most of the time we've been on this planet. This notion of work, which is boxed, as I said, the 9-to-5, here's your job description, here's what you need to do, here are all the tasks you do, which collectively give you work, collectively give you a job and get you money, is really only something of the last couple of hundred years.
But I suppose we will still have tasks that we need to do. We still have to feed the kids. We still have to do all of those kind of things. So the question is, how will we make that happen?
Yep. And that comes down, I mean, this is the plug bit. So I use a formula which I call HUMAND, which is H-U-M-A-N-D, human and. And it's a formula that I look at every task that a client needs to do. So it could be answering the phone, doing the invoicing, build a teddy bear, whatever it is they need to do. You look at the, you break it down into its tasks. What are the smallest steps that need to be done to answer the phone, create the invoice, make the teddy bear, you know, make a hot chocolate, whatever it is, break them all down. And then you ask the really simple question of each of those small tasks, is this best done by a machine, like a robot or a repetitive machine? Is it best done now by AI that can think around corners and can get us information really quickly? Or is it something best done by humans? Or, as I think often comes out the answer, it's a combination of all three or two. And that's to me how I think the future of getting tasks done will most likely lay itself out. Is this something I hire somebody for? Is this something I get artificial intelligence to help with? Or do I get a machine like a robot or something else to do it for me?
So earlier today, I was on the phone with a friend of mine who I've known for probably 25 or 30 years since we both worked together in a company all that time ago. And we made a lot of changes. It was in the broadcast arena. I won't name the company, but we did a lot of things at that point. And on the call today, he was talking about AI and on the one hand, kind of embellishing what AI can do and all the different things it could do. But at the same time, he was sort of saying, well, the people that control the future of AI are much younger than us, which is true, probably. And the fact is they don't really know how to use AI as a tool and what we... he was sort of collectively saying me and him and other people of our generation know, is the human touch, the ability to bring in some knowledge that can help utilize those AI tools in the right way. And that's what we can offer. And that in the future is really what a job could be. It could be basically organizing the AI.
I think so. I think it's a side-by-side. The only word I change in what you've said, because I agree with all of it, is, and this is my wording, nothing else, is I don't use the word knowledge. I use wisdom, because I think AI actually gets us knowledge. And knowledge to me is the assembly of facts into something that might be useful or purposeful. And AI is doing that. What wisdom says is, yeah, that might be what all the pieces tell you it means, but in real life, it's not even close to what I need or close to what we need to be doing. And that's, I agree with you and your mate about that. That's human wisdom that AI can't at the moment do. And I don't think it'll ever be able to. And I shouldn't say you, it's me. I don't make sensible decisions. You know, sometimes if I want a cup of coffee, I'm thinking about the weather. I'm thinking about how much petrol's in my car, whether my wife needs something, can I be bothered? There are all sorts of things which go into my head which make no sense to anybody else on this planet. But for me, even though I don't know I'm doing it, they're sensible things for me to filter through. AI is never going to be able to see around those corners. Only you and I or me or whoever else is going to be able to work through that nonsense of criteria of importance to come up with something that does make sense as a solution, even though on paper it doesn't seem to.
On paper, it's a kind of crazy life we lead, thinking about multiple things at the exact same time, really. And as you say, we don't even really know that we're doing it, right?
We don't. I mean, often if I'm thinking about something, I'll come up with a conclusion, or a client asks something, I'll come up with an answer, and then I'm sitting there thinking, where did I come up with that from? You know, where did that come from? And it's because we have human wisdom, which doesn't mean we're wise, but I'm saying we have history, we have past experiences, we have all kinds of things which, to me, are intuition. And I think the safer we get with ourselves, the more comfortable we get with ourselves, the more we trust our intuition. And intuition to me is the sum total of past experiences. That's where I think, again, AI doesn't play well and can't play well. Sometimes it's just intuition and a hunch that for that split moment you don't know where it came from, but you know in your bones of bones that it makes perfect sense, even if you can't describe it yet.
So that's what we got, intuition and wisdom. Well, we'll stick with that. I'm just going to take you off on a slightly different direction for a moment, because in about 10 minutes, we've got a guy called Will Bruce coming into the studio, and we're going to be talking a bit. He's a musician, and he does live performance and recordings and so on, but he has started to use AI in his music, particularly around the vocal side. So I think we're going to have an interesting conversation about the participation of AI in music. And I'm sure this is something, Boris, that you've come up and have views on. You know, is it something that you think is good, and you know, where something like AI is contributing to something which is creative?
I love that, because it's the same question that's been asked, I think, again, ever since we've been put on this planet. What is creativity? Mm. Where does it come from? And if you go back again into our history, which is the place I love to understand, what have humans done before when they had to think about this, rather than starting from zero? So I always go back and try and figure out, even though the stimulus is different, AI hasn't been it, it's been something else, you know, what did we do as humans? It really comes down to that of what we value to be creativity. Many people, I'm assuming many of our listeners are now saying, unless it's traditional, unless it comes from an instrument or from a vocal or something that we know and understand, then this thing isn't creative, it's something else. But let's go 5-10 years down the track. This thing that we now don't understand, that now has a complete set of followers, users, there's music out there, there are things that we find purposeful, and all of a sudden does make sense, and it's seen as being creative. So we're in that flux period now, is my short answer, that flux period where it doesn't make sense. I mean, how can something that's deeply, you know, from the soul of a human, which is where I think great music comes from, the soul of a human, how can that be synthesized? But then again, synthesized is exactly the instruments that we use. We don't necessarily use a piano. We use a synthesizer.
We do.
So I'm kind of sitting on the fence with splinters, but I know it's creative. I know it's purposeful. I know it will do incredible things that I will enjoy listening to and participating in, but I also know it's going to be messy, ugly, and we're going to rally against it for a little while until we get there.
Well, let's see what Will has to say about it in 5 or 10 minutes from now. Morris Mislowski is our business futurist. Morris, as ever, thank you very much for your insights and your look into the future. We always appreciate it, and it really sets us thinking. Thanks again.
A pleasure as always. Have a great week, everyone.